So does anybody have anything they want to talk about or any dreams to discuss? Any of that kind of stuff?
I had a little dream.
Okay.
I didn't send it. Sorry for that. Oh, where is it now? Oh, here.
Well, while she's looking for that, I'll let you guys know that my my issue with lateness is continuing in an interesting way.
Okay.
Yeah, just so I was, so I'm in Gulf Shores, Alabama, with my family and my parents' 50th anniversary, and they want to do a family picture. I don't care what it is, no matter how many legitimate events go together, I always seem to be the last one to any event.
Really?
I mean, I'm serious, you guys. No, this is weird, right? I wasn't trying to. But today, you know, we're getting dinner and stuff, and somebody realizes they left all the beach stuff out on the beach, and there's a storm coming. So some people have to go out there and rescue the stuff. I was one of those people. And by the time I got back, the photographer's here. You know, I didn't know that they were that ready. I was trying to help find a place that we could all get under where it was dry to take the pictures, so on and so forth. And somehow, when I came up to get my clothes on for the picture, everybody starts, you know, hollering for me, and I was the last person there. Really weird. I mean, everything I did, I thought was absolutely legitimate. There wasn't anything that didn't need to be done, and yet I was still the last person. Go figure.
Hmm.
That's all. It's weird.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a cold?
No. I'm on my cell phone. I'm on my cell phone. I don't have a cold.
That sounds coldy. Yeah.
Are you still in Alabama?
Yeah. And I was just throwing that in while Simone found her dream.
Yeah, but isn't it like 2 o'clock? No. What is it? 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what it is?
My little night owl.
Yep.
Okay, so Simone, have you found your dream?
Yes. Yeah, it's open again.
Okay, so give us the first part that would be the incipit.
Oh, when did the dream happen?
Huh?
Huh?
When did the dream happen? When?
Oh, June 6th. I think it was Friday, Saturday. Yeah. And by the way, I will leave a little early today. We go to the first school journey.
Oh, you're doing another trip, huh? Okay.
Yes. So, I don't want to be late at the train station.
Yep, the last one.
Yeah, really.
No, the first one of three. But not all are on Tuesday morning. Okay, here is the dream. I am studying chemistry with some other students. In a laboratory, we are attending courses and do experiments in our white aprons.
Okay.
In your what? Oh, white aprons.
White aprons.
Aprons, did you say that?
Lab coats.
The white thing you wear over your clothes.
Yeah, lab coats, yeah.
Okay,
anybody want to wrestle with the incipit?
Monday night.
Chemistry.
So, what about chemistry?
That's what everything, it's the study of the constituents of, that everything's made up of.
Okay.
I think it's about Monday night.
And why do you think it's about Monday night?
We're all experimenting. We've talked about that in the last couple of weeks. We're experimenting. We're figuring it out. We're putting it. We're applying it.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, so we're going to use that as the incipit, and everything else in the dream is relative to that. Okay?
Which what? That did we agree to?
Yeah, we have two options.
No, actually, you really don't, because Monday night is all about the... Chemistry is about the basic elements, the constituents, the down to the very basics, and
okay.
How they go together. So you're, in many ways, talking about constituents and emergence and the potential outcomes, which is, the as Andrew said, the experiments of how things go together and what the emergence are. So that kind of all goes together into one, unless somebody else has an idea.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that. I just thought first, it's closer to Pat's way of saying it, yeah. But that's okay.
Which is chemistry?
Yes.
Okay.
It won't come out that different, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they're pretty much the same. Yeah.
It is. Shall I go on?
Okay, well, since it's the dreamers redirecting us, then we know that she's really firm on that it's that way, okay?
Which way?
She wants it to be that it's the chemistry of how things are.
Oh, you go for that? Okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
I'm open to the other one, too. But I go on. Some well-known experiments and formulas we are learning by heart. But there are also experiences we don't know the outcome by mixing the given constituents together. And for me, the most interesting are these experiments where we can put self-chosen constituents together and no one has any idea what emerges out of these constituents.
Okay, stop there. Anybody have any input on that?
I'm just letting other people talk first.
And they are talking up a storm.
They are, aren't they? So there are some well-known phrases and information that we go over all the time, but in Monday nights, there's some of these things that we're starting to put together on our own with, what did you say, Simone? Constituents that are different, or what did you say?
Given ones, given constituents.
Right.
And then the third way of doing the experiments is putting self-chosen constituents together.
Right. And that's what you're finding more interesting, is that true?
For me, yeah, the most interesting are the experiments where we can put self-chosen constituents together. And no one has any idea what emerges out of these constituents.
Well, you need to... I'm just going to correct your languaging here. We don't want to use emerges. We always want to use emergent.
Okay.
What is the emergent?
Emergent. Mm-hmm. Out of these constituents. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Go on.
Go on?
Yes, please.
Some are explosive experiments, some smell really bad, some bubble, and some show no seeming reactions.
Okay, stop. What do you guys think?
Yes, agreed.
Okay, so some, what's the first one?
Are explosive.
Explosive.
No.
So what does that mean?
Like, they come out of the glass, or...
No, no, I meant relative to interpretation. Nothing, huh? Well, it's pretty much what it says. But I want you guys to get the feel of when you interpret something and when you realize that she's saying exactly what she means.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes constituents...
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not... I'm just... So everything she said just sounds like... So to me, everything she's saying are just facts that would either describe Monday night, or if you want to go with constituents, then it's going to be constituents in, you know, life of... There are certain things that we know that we've done from memory or from language, and there are certain things we don't know. Some are surprising, and some are nothing happens. And some, I mean, so this is all just, to me, a description of the life as she sees it. I don't really have anything past that.
The explosive could be also interpreted as emotional.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, I think that was obvious to me. Okay.
Yeah, outbursts, things like that. But yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, go on, Simone.
Okay. I only like the last two ways of experimenting, with new given constituents and self-chosen constituents.
What given? New given?
Given constituents.
So she doesn't like to look at the old way, the way that things are done all the time.
Yeah, new given and self-chosen.
The tried and true. What? How did you put it in the beginning of that of the dream? The first way.
The first way was learning by heart well-known formulas and experiments.
Right. So those that are the tried and true, ongoing, all the time, everybody does it, everybody knows that, you know.
Yeah.
Those
the one you have to know by heart.
Yeah, those don't excite her very much. Okay.
Okay. And then, while working, I also observe myself doing these experiments, and this is fun. And then,
well, working, what working? Working in the lab?
Doing, yeah, and doing the experiment. And then I wake up.
And were you in a lab coat?
Pardon?
I was making a joke. I said, and did you wake up and were you in a lab coat?
It was funny observing myself doing that, yeah.
Okay, with
so
that...
Simone, have you woken up yet to the ways in which you're enjoying doing life by standing on your own two feet? I know that's taken it kind of far out of the symbolism, but I'm just saying.
What I thought is that I'm... Oh, wait. Become more courageous.
Yep.
In putting constituents together where I don't know the outcome. That was my first idea when I wrote it down. But I don't know if this is too far away or too narrow or not.
No, it's not. I mean, yes, I don't think so. But for me, I mean, the question is, what are you waking up to?
because this was the end of the dream, or?
Brought you to a waking point.
Yeah.
Do you know Aunt Simone?
No.
See, I think that, so to me, that's why I'm asking the question. It doesn't, I think you're having the dream, just my opinion, you're having the dream because, you know, you're having all this enjoyment of getting off of the memorized, Roger written, you know, statements and approaches to forever living, and I don't know that you've realized the degree to which you enjoy being, you know, standing on your own two feet. Acting on your own, using the constituents, applying them, you know, in your
way. That's the way you mean it. Oh, yeah, I can go with that. Is that any different than what I said?
That wasn't that different, but the way you said it was you're doing that, yes, but I was asking what you're waking up to. And if you told me you hadn't realized that you're doing these things on your own, I would understand what you're waking up to.
No, actually, I think I'm quite aware of what I'm doing. Yeah.
Well, then what? I guess my question is, I don't know how to ask it yet. Anybody else have a question? I have a question I'm still working on.
Well, I think I don't know if this is what you're getting at, Andrew, is that a dream doesn't tell you something that you're already totally aware of. It's trying to point something out to you. Is that
showing
right?
You how you're living your life? Yeah, I think that's what that's the approach I'm taking.
Yeah. Like, what is it? What is in this dream that you don't already know about, Simone?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to find, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So in what ways have you been unwilling to step out on your own with this stuff before now?
Uh-huh.
That's actually a question.
Mm-hmm. I think I was not unwilling, but I didn't find maybe a pleasant way to present it. I mean, with clients, I have never any problems. But in daily life, I do see that I do not apply my knowledge in a way of that it is fun and pleasant, yeah. And that's certainly a difference with clients and in my profession doing my income.
Well, I just, you know, I guess I would be, I'm listening for an answer of something like, when you remember when you said, remember when Roger used to say, like, do it the way I tell you to do it, and then once you've understood the way I tell you to do it, change it however you want. Maybe I'll remember that. Sounds to me like that's where you've come to. You're starting to step out on your own and apply it more the way you want to.
Yeah, that can be, yeah.
Up to now, it sounds like you've only been trying to stick with, you know, the way you, like, were learned or taught or, like, memorizing and try to apply it.
I mean, you know, out of my email, did you read it already?
Mm-hmm, I did.
There is always a certain uncertainty of did I get it right? Because I really cannot rely on the dictionary for certain words. And I remember after a longer talk with Roger, he said, you are on your own. I cannot help you because I'm using language different than you do. And I know he meant by dictionary. And yeah, I'm doing my best. Learning the words, how he used it, yeah. I'm quite aware that there might be some misunderstandings.
I think you're doing quite well, Simone.
Okay. That's nice to hear. There is an uncertainty. Often.
Well, hopefully that'll get less and less.
I hope so too, yeah. But
okay, does anybody else have anything more to say about this dream?
No, just one last little question, only between me and Simone. Simone, since you wrote me the email of your declared statement, I'm just wondering, have you felt like you've adopted that more or declared that more for yourself?
This was a helpful, let's say, process. To exactly what I said just now, sometimes I'm just happy. Let me state it like this: when I understood it, or when I think I understood it, but I don't go to work it in a precise way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that you were so. What did I write? What word did I use? I had to look up these words. I can tell it. Oh, that's the way.
The dream seems to me. The dream seems to match your statement. So nobody else will relate to that yet. Just asking.
Yeah. I used the word accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, for everybody else, Andrew asked me about my beginning statement, or how I chose to come alive. And we worked on that over several emails. And he made he was very
accurate
in taking pardon?
Accurate,
yes. In looking at my words, what words I used and what for example the word can. That's not a statement, that's a possibility, I can or I cannot. It does work in many things, in many statements, but not in a statement how I came alive. And these things I often don't see, yeah. But
would you care
the statement as I take it now, I think it is precise, so that I can have it.
Would you care to share it with us?
Yeah. I take a little bit the shorter version, Andrew.
Sure.
In case you have it open. I have chosen... Pardon?
I have it open.
Okay. I have chosen being alive as one who is showing myself and other that there are that we are never not living by our own authority.
Okay.
Yeah. And with the word can in the statement, it's not, never not living. It's a possibility that I can choose or not choose, depending, I don't know on what, but it's not precise.
They don't know what you mean. The original can you give them the original version of your statement? Because I didn't get that.
Where is it? I have to scroll down the email.
I can read it if you don't have it.
Okay. Maybe you're faster than I am.
She wrote, I've chosen I will be alive as one who is showing myself and others that we can live our own authority. So I pointed out to her that the can means, well, maybe you are and maybe you're not. Some you can do it, but you don't have to do it, or you can do it, but you didn't do it this time. This time it happened to me, this time it was my free will. So I looked at it and took out the can and said, you're not living by your own free will. So that seems to take out that's the pattern Roger used in the I Ching when he wrote the Javala version of it. The
never not.
But if it's nothing but living by your authority, those kind of things.
That's another possibility. But I think it fits me. But does it have anything to do with the dream?
Sure. Living
I
quite
don't
authority.
See that.
Doing
in putting the constituents together that I don't know the outcome.
Right.
And the self-chosen.
Those are the ones you like the best.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay, does anybody else have anything they want to say about this? Then does anybody else have something they want to discuss?
I do after everybody else is finished.
Thank you.
Okay. And I guess you're on, Andrew.
Okay, just a short, since I made a mess of last week, I just happened to listen to one more recording of that Roger did in Waimea in 2008, and he covered Beginning Story and How a Person Will Be Alive, and I have the number of that if someone's curious. But anyway, so what I did is, so this is what I think I've understood now. As Misty said last week, from readings, you can extract or glean the golden thread looking back. And you can say, okay, so what's the constancy of all the different things, you know, that in my lives? And you can use that as a point of reference to understand your life. That's looking back. The way Roger in the Waimea group for this one person did the How You'll Be Alive is he took her beginning story, and from the beginning story that she just wrote, not knowing where it was going, extracted the declaration of how she'll be alive. So I didn't understand that last week. We were talking, and I thought that I left that Monday night conversation last week thinking, you make the declaration going forward. Make it from memory, but that's not what happened. Is they used the and I couldn't figure out how it worked with the beginning story. So you just like using a reading to extract the golden thread, you use the beginning story to extract the declaration of how a person will be alive. and the way he used that seems to be pretty much the same as insipid, in that it unlocks eternal knowing for you.
Yep.
Does anybody have any questions on that?
No, that's a great summary, Andrew.
Okay, just a little bit more, it's not much. I don't know that whether back in 2008 he was using these terms a little more loosely, and like, I don't know if, like, you know, by 2015 or whatever he wrote Book of Origins, he was using insipid in a more refined way. I don't know that. Maybe we'll find out later. Or if he just used it to make the association between how insipid works in a dream and how this beginning concept of you works in your life. But either way, I don't think it matters now, because either way, you choose to adopt one of these by your own authority. Whether you use the golden thread from a reading, or you use the, you know, from memory you generate a beginning story and extract that, you know, insipid of how you've chosen you'll be alive. Either way, you create an identity. And either way, that identity gives you a point of reference. So it works the same.
I agree.
Unless Misty has a... you agree? Okay,
yeah.
I want to check with you on that, Misty.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. All right. Good. So and that was for people who are not going to get readings, right? So it's good to have that tool around for somebody who either doesn't want a reading, doesn't believe in readings, or just, you know, if you don't give readings, that's another way you can get to the same place. Give them an idea, you know, they can realize their identity. So then, the next day, I couldn't figure out emprise. So emprise then just makes sense in that without a continuing emprise, then everything you do in your life is just kind of the moment, and it's all cut up into pieces. Now, this is based on something he said 5 years ago yesterday. It just happened to be June 10th, 2013, Monday night. I found that in some notes. And so basically he was saying that, you know, if you want to know yourself, you can't know yourself, it's too incestuous. But if you have an emprise, no matter what you're doing, you can see yourself living as that eternal being, because it gives you that continuing awareness all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The continuing awareness of yourself living as an eternal being. So anyway, for me, you know, I'm sorry I made a mess of it, but I guess by the time I finally got that last piece, then everything else came together.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was helpful for me to sort it out.
Well,
thought I might have lost everybody in it.
Nope.
No. Okay, if there's nothing else, then I guess we'll finally get to the reading of number 111.
Okay.
And we'll go as normal.
Have you, 111? Yeah. Have you ever considered yourself to be a memory packet of uniquely assembled data information before?
And I think at this point most of us have. Is this correct?
Yep.
I think it's such a neat way of putting it. Uniquely assembled data information. Yes, particular.
Oh.
Yep. Okay, Karen?
One 112. The affinity process, pattern to which and through which every cell of your body and every belief and action of yourself in life is finely tuned, is your insipid that is carried with you at all times and situations throughout your life. This is not a pattern of who you are becoming or trying to become. Your insipid is a reminder of who you are. I don't remember ever hearing the affinity process before.
Never heard of it before.
I don't recall it either. But it must be there somewhere. Basically,
did you say the affinity process?
Yeah, that's the first pattern. Couple words of that. Mm-hmm. But obviously he's defining it as the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So... the most important thing, I think, is that it's talking about that it's not who you are becoming. It is who you are. The insipid is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Passage 113. Just as in this illustration, your personal affinity process, or pattern, began in your body as a search for an antibody to invading matters. Your insipid began in much the same way, as protection against actual and assumed invaders. But it is now time to see your insipid as a true expression of you, but not as a protection against the world and life around you. For actually, your insipid is the very environment or condition of your finest self and life. You don't have an insipid, you are an insipid.
Hmm.
And that's a pretty powerful passage, if you ask me.
Yeah, like an antibody. That kind of way reminds me of a teenager who isn't quite sure who the hell they are yet, and that they'll put up protection against being like their parents. Is that the kind of thing we're talking about there? That there's not a great deal of certainty, and that you've got to work to declare and, to ward off pressures to be something else.
Yeah, I think that it's basically...
It's a little bit...
Yeah. It's saying protecting yourself to be who you truly are.
Mm-hmm.
To protect it.
But he's saying now we're past that. Or actually, you are, your insipid is the very environment and condition of your finest self in life. And you don't have it, you are it.
So if you are it, and you live that all the time, there is nothing that will invade you, and nothing to ward off.
Yeah.
But if you're mm-hmm. wishy-washy, then you can be invaded. And then life gets out of control, and it's no longer who you truly are anymore. And you are at the whim of everything that comes along in your life.
And because the process of denying the insipid that I am.
If you live it, then nothing really ruffles your feathers.
Yeah.
You are who you are, who you are. And that is your insipid.
So we don't have to go looking for one. We are it already.
That's right. Kind of neat, huh?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, Patrick, would you read 114, please?
Hey, 114. Are you beginning to understand, or at least sense, how your greatest problem reveals your finest asset? And this all begins as a way to protect yourself and survive. which has, through memory, turned to a desirable and resplendent way of life. However, by continuing your original process of self-protection and survival out of memory and habit, though you survive temporarily, you will be expansively alive and will always be discontent.
Interesting way of saying that, expansively alive.
Wow, okay, yep, isn't that...
But always be discontent. Is that not a contradiction?
No, because the be expansively alive means bigger than life, other than who you are.
Oh, okay.
It's like people that are adrenaline junkies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
They're always out to have a battle or have an excitement or something that makes their life expansively alive, but it's not who they are. And even though they do all these things, when you talk to these people, you find out that, truthfully, they are discontent. And they're searching constantly for something that will bring them contentment. Anybody else have anything to say on that? Okay. Then 1:15, I imagine that's Sharon, right?
Yep. It is time to realize that antibodies do not fight against invaders. Antibodies inactivate invaders. In the same way, instead of struggling against bad and undesirable matters.
Got it.
Okay. In your body and life, inactivate them and move on. For what you struggle against keeps that action alive and active in your life and controls you and certainly discontents you. Continue living your insipid and move on. And what is an insipid? Or your personal insipid, do you know?
Well, most of us have explored that. Is anybody here who has not explored their beginning story or their insipid? Okay. Simone, 1:16, please.
1:16. Are you willing to be and live an insipid? That is the environment of yourself and life. Yeah.
Okay.
Andrew?
Is there any discussion on that?
Okay.
Okay, 1:17. If you want your life to change, the first thing you must do is stop doing what you are doing. Nothing will change until you do that.
And this is
That's uncharacteristic, Roger.
Yeah, but this is something that is an interesting thing. And I've heard him say this. If you want to change your life, the first thing you have to do is stop doing what you're doing. I mean, if you have a continual pattern that throws you into a tizzy all the time and is not how you truly desire to live, then you have to do other. So, and as he says, nothing will change until you do that. So if you keep having things show up in your life and you are discontent with them, then something that you are doing is something that is undesirable to you, and you have to stop doing it in order for you to live the life you truly desire. Okay. Anybody have anything to discuss on that one?
Oh, just maybe a little bit of a rehash here that I've always assumed you can't not do things. You can do something else. That in the act of struggling to not do, you just perpetuate it. That, as you were saying, Misty, that you that nothing will change unless you do something different.
Yep.
And that the not doing, like I think part of the illustration I can remember is that you don't stop smoking. You change your point of view that you're not a smoker and you do something else.
That's correct.
Anyway, it's the notion that if I'm remembering correctly, that it's harder to not do something than it is to simply do something else.
Well, the problem with not doing something is that's where you keep your focus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the struggle is.
Yeah, so what you focus on is what other do you want to do, and it's kind of like then you mm-hmm. fill your glass with that other that you desire. And the other kind of flows away.
Yep. Is somebody having trouble coming in and leaving?
It certainly sounds that way, doesn't it?
I am. My wire keeps cutting off and cuts me off.
Hmm. Goodness.
And I keep coming back.
Good for you.
Okay. We're now on Karen, right?
All right, what number was it?
118.
118.
And read through the to the light area too. Okay?
Okay. Now, understanding insipid, let's look at a few beginning stories written by individuals. So I'll read through this.
Yes.
Once upon a time, a long time ago, on a planet many light years from Earth, an infant was born with an extraordinary sense of his place in time. Quite unlike other children born on that world, he carried with him a memory full of details of every existence he had lived on the enormous number of energy planes he had created for himself. Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Since privileged beings have no concept of time, they can only speak and think in present tense. Illustration. Instead of, I came alive to experience, which is both time and cause and effect, this might better be written, I am alive experiencing. Sequencing is not time or cause and effect.
Averted?
Yeah, well, we're all sitting there looking at that word going, averted? I mean, I can guess what that means, but... Anybody have the definition of that?
It means alter a proposition so as to infer another proposition with a contradictory predicate. The example is no men are immortal, and I guess that's compared to all men are mortal.
Right. Switching around the way the sentence is written.
Yeah, you come to the same meaning, but it's to a different language path.
Okay, cool. Okay, Patrick?
Understand that describing is always in present tense, which is better described as present time. Illustration. I have done, brackets, allow me this path, might become I am remembering previous doings, and I will do might become I am considering what will be next. In each instance, the present time action is entirely different and correctly expresses what you are doing. Hmm. That's neat. Can I go over that again?
Certainly.
Can become I am remembering previous doings, and I will do becomes I am considering what will be next. In each instant, the present time action is entirely different and correctly expresses what you are doing. I like that. That's really neat. I have done is really I am remembering previous doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do is really different than I am considering what will be next.
Yes, it is.
Wow, I like that. That's neat.
I like also the first one. I am alive expressing.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're at Sharon.
Which one is it?
All describing.
All describing.
What's that?
All describing.
All describing is present time of past or future, and you are not describing and speaking falsely.
Go ahead and read the next little bit.
Present time is nonce time, which is all past. So is all present.
So is all present.
In other words, all present time is past time. Right,
because by the time you observe it, it's past.
Yeah. It's past, right.
Okay. Simone, read us the first part.
Aria. Long ago, and oh, so very far away, I remember being born to a woman or to planet...
On the planet.
Raytum. On the planet Raytum. On this planet lived a little-known goddess, Experiata. Experiata's special gift is to switch children at birth so that they might experience more than they ever knew before. So Experiata takes me and brings me to Earth. She finds a newborn baby is a bassinet.
Yes.
In a small country town. Here she makes the switch, taking the Earth child to Raytan to experience life there.
Okay, Andrew.
My mother loves me dearly. She decides to name me Aria, which means morning star. Since she said I bring so much light to each day.
Okay.
From the very...
Let Andrew...
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Misty, this is your story, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so my question is, how and what way this first paragraph, where there was, I assume that since you wrote this, there were some at least seeds of this experience in your life, if not some kind of direct experience. How do you relate to this in your life, you know, in the past of this present life?
Well, it was interesting when I sat down, you know, we had that assignment to sit down and write your beginning story. And
yes.
I sat down and it was almost like automatic writing. It just just flowed right out of me. There was no effort. It just was there. And it really surprised me. And when I read it, it just so resonated with me. It really did.
Mm-hmm.
And I really embraced it and felt that very much so, this was my beginning story. I mean, I've modified it some now to some extent, but for the most part, it's still very much the same story and the same incipit upon which I base my life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Quite. I wanted to know about this, about the goddess switching a child at birth.
Well,
I'm wondering in what ways you may have felt you were switched at birth and what the reasons for that were.
I never really
personally recollect.
I never really felt like I fit in my family. I was different from the other children, and more of a free spirit, had more authority of self, was more self-driven, was the only one to go on and complete college, let alone get a doctorate. I just felt like I was switched somehow, and, you know, it's like, what, did the mailman do it with my mom or what? You know, I don't know. One of those kind of feelings, you know, like, do I really fit into this family? Of course, I look like my parents. There's no doubt about that. So the loner body is definitely theirs. But, yeah, I really related to this. And also the fact that one of my past life readings talked about my being switched at birth in France with another child and the adventures that I went on relative to that and the experiences that I had relative to that. So I think those two things kind of came together.
Oh, that's interesting. Thank you. I assumed that this was a very real thing for you, so I'm just always curious.
Okay, good. So where,
so
were
where do we?
We
leave off? Mother's, was it light every day? From the fruit? Must be.
From my very first moment.
Yeah. From the very first moment, yeah. From the very first moment, I am remembering that upon people seeing me, they comment that there is something very special about me. But no one can say just what. I find I am doing everything earlier than other children. I have what the locals call the look. They feel I can see deep within their souls. Realizing this, they often scoff and say, "How is that so? She is merely a baby."
Karen, you read the next two?
I'm just looking for my spot.
I know it's hard without the numbers.
Yeah. All right.
Now I am 1 year old.
Yeah. But it should be right in front of me. There I am. Now I am 1 year old. And I am realizing that if I look into their eyes, soon, ever so softly, they hear me humming a tune. I am 4, I am walking down a road, enjoying everything about the beautiful day. Oh, how I love my life. I constantly smile everywhere I go and gently hum my song. As I am walking, I see a woman I have never met before. I stop and study her, listening carefully, and I gently nod my head. Yes, there it is. Suddenly, I am humming a beautiful song. The woman is quite taken by the melody I'm humming and says to me, "That song sounds familiar. What song is this?" I reply, "Why, it is your song." My song, I guess that says.
Yes, it does.
Says the woman. How can this be?
Okay. I explain. Everyone has a song they have sung throughout all time, in every life and experience, in everything they have done. It may be a slight variation of the song. It may be played bold or almost as soft as a whisper. It may sound like one instrument or a whole symphony. It may be played fast or slow at any tempo they desire. It may be pitched very high or very low. There are no boundaries as to how it can be played, but it is their song just the same. When I first listen carefully, I hear each person's song. I remember I smile a warm, embracing smile. Everyone has the ability to listen to their song playing throughout the universe and express that song in any variation, in any way they want. The thing is, so many have stopped listening and therefore barely hear their own song.
Wasn't an accident that you read that one, was it, Misty?
I guess not. Okay. Patrick, why don't you read the next two?
It soon gets around that I have this special talent. People come from far and wide to hear me hum their song. As I grow, I start to add words to the melodies. I explain that each verse is like a past life, so that there are many, many verses for each individual. But put all together, it is their eternal symphony.
Okay. Sharon?
Okay. I spend my life helping others to hear their own song. Once an individual is able to hear their song, I help them to sing and express it in the ways they desired. Oh, it is a glorious life, a beautiful playing of my song.
Okay.
Continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Someday, when I'm very, very old, I will most likely again feel an intense longing for a place far away. I will sit and listen to my song and recollect a place where I have lived my song before. Then before me will appear a beautiful woman, her song a majestic symphony, played so strong, yet so very expressive and tender. Will sweep around and through me. The woman, I'm having a hard time following this with my eyes. The woman will once again remind me of our eternal friendship, and I will say, "Oh, I remember you. You are the goddess of
Experiata. Yep.
I will tell her of this life and thank her for this wonderful opportunity to sing my song and experience it on this place called Earth. Experiata will smile knowingly and will then ask me, as so many times before, if there is anything else I would like to do in this physical life. If there is more of the song I wish to sing, she will leave and come back again at another time. But when I feel it is time, Experiata will sweep me up into herself, and we will once again go to that place far, far away as so many times before. And there, once again, I will sing our song.
Okay.
So why do you call it our song then? Because it's that's the communion?
That's the communion.
Okay.
That's my eternal illuminated resplendent self.
Yeah.
Experiata, huh?
Yep.
Well.
Anybody else have any questions?
Just language-wise, what does sweep me up mean?
Means like embrace and pull inward.
Uh-huh, okay.
So this implies that it's lifetimes of doing the singing.
Well,
but I thought we had, because that's your incipit?
That's my incipit.
Okay. So even if you did other things in other lifetimes, you would still see this going through the lifetimes?
Yes.
Okay.
I might express it differently, but,
okay,
you know, there are many ways to express the same concept. But it's still the same concept, it's still the same incipit. Okay?
Yeah.
Simone, would you read 119?
119? Do you hear in this that all people sound the natural song or tone of themselves in one form or another? And in that, what occurs is emergent, not caused. Actually, in singing a song to cause things, either intentionally or unintentionally, is not being your natural self, and the song is not your life tone, and neither the self and life you cause. Know what that is.
Okay. So does anybody have anything to say on K?
Well, it's very poetic. We start with A and we ended with Simone.
Worked out pretty good, didn't it?
Worked out just fine.
I was thinking...
Well, holy girl, that's it.
Yeah, that's K. Yep.
Well, that's it for Monday night. Thanks, Misty. It was great.
I also thought about putting on the bottom of that a saying to say, be who you truly are, live your song.
That would fit well.
So I'm going to add that on the end of that. So any comments or questions or discussion of any kind?
Well, can I just discuss a bit about what you're considering putting on the end?
Sure.
Can you live your song, or can you listen and hear your song and know that's you?
Why would you not live your song?
Well, isn't that I'm getting hung up in this cause and effect thing. If I set out the cause to live my song, am I not trying to be something? But if I listen, I hear my song. And this gets back to that whole thing. Can I go off and actually decide what I'm going to live and go live that? Or is it all emergent anyway? I think at the beginning of this piece, it says, all people sound the natural song and tone of themselves in one form or another. You can't help it. It's going on. And what occurs is emergent. So that's the question I raised.
Okay, so we could say, be who you truly are, and your song will be emergent.
Yeah, that's consistent with what I think it's saying, yes.
No, will be is... It would be, and your song is emergent.
Yeah, it is emergent, yeah.
Or should we say, emergent is your song?
Yeah, either way.
Which would...
But it, yeah.
Well, the way you said it first, Misty, did you say, how was it, how was the first attempt?
Be who you truly are, live your song.
Okay, right. So to me, that was simply a matter of focus. Everything in this chapter, everything about Insipid has said, you know, essentially it's the root or the basis of your whole life anyway. So, to me, you said that, you know, your first, after the statement was, I was thinking, however you said it was, to me it's like, it's the difference between focusing on living the self you are, and then or focusing on living something like, okay, I'm going to make a lot of money. That's my focus in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of focus. I mean, no matter what you do, you cannot but live yourself. So if I go to live it by, you know, doing, you know, cage fighting to make a lot of money and take out my anger on people, well, I mean, because that's my focus. So I'm still living the song, but it's just, I'm maybe not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm living it by struggle. But I can see how people might not understand, I mean, you know, people might not understand if they're not familiar with this.
Well, hopefully by the time they get to this point in the book, it would be pretty obvious. If they don't understand that, then maybe we have more work to do on the book.
I just, you know, I never underestimate people's ability, myself included, ability to not understand something. You know, I strive to make things as self-evident as possible.
I think that's the whole function of describing.
So, I mean, you know, short, quick statements are you know, attractive and useful, but I guess they can lead to lack of understanding.
So how do you guys think I should write this ending line?
We're not getting you very well at this end of the Trans-Pacific.
Yeah, I kind of leaned back. I pulled a Patrick. How do you guys think I should write this ending line passage?
Well, you're not, I mean, it may be your song, but it's inspiring others to learn their song, and it's not necessarily about singing.
No. Song is just
right.
a what do they call
metaphor.
This? Metaphor.
A metaphor.
Right.
So, but that's what it is it's not about you singing your song, but in your
singing your song. You're being authentic to who you are and showing others to be that. That they too can attain that.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, because it's your song. We don't duplicate your song. You're not teaching us how to do it your way. But I might be wrong.
No.
Important difference.
It would not be about teaching them my song. It would be about them discovering their own song.
Right.
Well, that's so. The way you said it the first time to me would be a fine way to end this. If I'm a reader and I just read this neat story, I might wonder, like, how could I hear my own song? Is it possible to hear my own song? I'd be interested to one last little piece that might tell me how to do that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping to do with that last statement.
Well, my only concern remains that when I turn on my little Asus computer, its logo flashes up first and it says, searching for excellence. And it's a crappy little computer. And I keep on wanting to email them and say, well, you're still searching because you haven't found it yet. And it's so important to nail the language so that it's like, Asus is saying they're searching for excellence, and I'll have to wait until they find it then. And I find that, you know, communications is a large part of my business, and I'm always astounded at how people can muck up what I thought was really clear.
Mm-hmm.
More and more I work on my language, especially written language, to try to make sure I've closed off anything that people can assume and then miss the message altogether. So that's just an overriding concern I got. Misty, you got to live with this, and you're going to put it out. You got to be comfortable with it.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. I will think on it. Okay.
So that's my only thing, that I know you got all the background you need to get it to say what you wanted to say.
Okay. Anybody else have anything they want to add about Chronicle K?
No, it was a good one. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was wonderful myself. So, it looks like we're moving on to Chronicle L.
Oh, do we have another? I thought we were at the end of the book already.
Nope. There's one more.
Sweet Minerva, there is. Okay.
Sweet Minerva. Okay. You and your statements sometimes. Okay, Andrew, so would you lead us off?
Sure. Book of Origins, Chronicle L. A steadfast, universal being. 1. Is life within you, or do you live within a life? If life is within you, and you want more of that, what is within you? And where will you get more of that? And if you cannot create more life, can you have more life? Actually, maybe life is living you. If so, what other than life are you?
That's a lot of questions. Anybody wanna, try to look into any of those questions? And
it's interesting he brings them up. I have, it's not something I guess I would have thought that I normally thought about, except that I have. I've tried to figure some of this out before.
And where have you gotten with that?
Oh, no idea. I mean, I don't know that it's answerable. by deduction. To a certain extent, I think that I've grappled with it, trying to figure out how this whole thing, what happens after death. And I've come to, in that regard, something like one of the only solutions I can think of is something closer to life is living you. Or I should say, life is living us. But as I recall, Roger was never in favor of an idea of like a collective entity.
I think that's true.
That doesn't mean it's not so. That just means that he never was much to discussing that.
Okay. Well, these are the kind of questions that he pondered all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in the beginning of this, you're going to get a whole bunch of those questions to ponder. And they are great ones for if you're going to imaginate, to just take one of the...
Oh, great idea.
One of the little statements and imaginate on it and see what you come up with. And if you do, I would love to have people share what they came up with. You know? Be a great discussion. Because you're going to have a whole bunch of questions here coming up real fast over the next number of passages. Okay? Karen, you want to do passage two?
Number two, what is your life? And is your life different than life itself? How is it different? What is more life about? And what is the purpose of more life? Does more life have any meaning?
Okay. So that would be another one, you know, these kind of things that you can imaginate on and I think really have some great insights. Passage three. What is the difference between your life and God's life? If your life and God's life are the same, have you considered the consequences of this? And if they are different, in being one with God, you must give up your life to have God's life. What life are you giving up? And life, what life would you be getting? Okay. Patrick?
I'm just thinking that if Roger was leading this discussion, we could have spent an hour on number
the first,
three.
Yeah, well, you could have done just number
or
one.
On each of them.
Is life within you? And he could have gone on for days. So, yeah. Now, I'm willing to sit and discuss these if people want to sit and wrestle them and try to flesh them out for themselves.
Well, I mean, I think the discussion with Roger would have ended with a certain, he was making a case for something. And usually it would be which answer do you want? Because there's no way to prove it. So I guess a question I would have is if anybody had a preference for any of those.
Yeah, I think that...
Are we back at number one? Is that what we're doing?
We can do whatever you guys decide. It's fine. If you want to sit and try to flesh one of these out, you can choose one.
Well, I don't have a good process for fleshing it out. He always had a good process for fleshing it out.
Well, that's why, for me, I would want to sit with it a while, choose one of these passages, and just say, okay, and maybe even do one a day, and just do that as your imagination, and See if anybody comes up with some really interesting stuff. There is no right or wrong. Because, truthfully, it is relative to you and how you see it.
I mean, I'll just tell you personally, I've come to the maybe life is living you. But the way at least as I've thought about back and forth between past conversations with Roger, as I remember them, not that I haven't had the notes or the record for a while. I think of it as life is living the eternal being, and the eternal being is living you, or the abiding being, or whichever it is. I don't even know what you were talking about, but so that you would have an eternal being that, you know, functions as an eternalness for you. But if that stops existing, then it would actually, yeah, I guess that makes sense with something he said in K about you came alive as a concept, like a cloud.
Yep.
That congealed into a concept. I guess that actually would fit.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as the concept, like as an eternal being, it's or an abiding being, is still there, then it can generate a loner you. But once it stops existing, it would just become more of the life, back to life itself.
Okay.
Anyway, so then for me, more life would simply be more of a continuing individuality. What does anybody else think?
I admit I don't dwell on this kind of stuff very much. But there's... I'm holding now some kind of concept of... You know, it's hard to describe. I am life. I don't think the notion that something's living me or I'm living it, this doesn't seem to fit at all. And that life came alive in this body and I are it. I didn't, you know, life, I thought of, when I saw this, have you been brought to life? I thought of statements, Roger made years ago about when conditions in the environment on this planet were secure and stable, life came alive. Life began to embody. I don't know how I can take myself apart and think of myself as anything else but life. Mm. I'm not even the agent of life. I just have trouble getting my head around it, that there's some kind of separation there.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of with you because I look at it as I am life itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you both life itself, where does Pat end and Misty begin?
Where are you?
Expression.
The unique expression. Remember what we read in 111? What was that? A unique data information package?
But the truth is, I feel like I am everywhere in the universe. I just have a focal point here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And well, so where do I begin and where does Pat begin? I think that we run through each other, but we are individual expressions that in being that create an individual packet. Does that make sense?
It does, and as Andrew was saying earlier, it's a matter of focus. The life took a particular focus with each one of us that's on the call, and it life came alive as those this group of particulars. And I think back to that if there was any purpose of the universe at all, it was to expand creation. And life is life is expansion. And it continues to expand. So what brought me to life? Life brought me to life. And I am life brought alive. I just keep on coming back to that.
So you would say, I am life, lifing.
Life is so damn plenary that it can be particular and universal.
I agree.
What do you think, Karen?
I'm pondering.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. What do I think? Am I life, or is life me? I mean, we ask these kinds of questions all the time, and I think you can look at it from both directions.
That's a good one.
Well, it could almost be like stepping onto the other magazine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, Karen, both are true, depending on which point of view you take or which point of reference you take?
Depending on the context. Yeah. I'm looking at the first one. Is life within you, or are you within life? Within a life? I could see it both ways. Or is there a third option? Or am I? I mean, that's one is within the other. Am I life, and is it there is no in within without?
Okay. Shall we move on?
Mm-hmm.
So where were we anyway? I think I read the last one, did I not?
You read two. No, whoever it was, right? Karen read two.
I read three.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Misty read three, I think.
So Patrick...
I can't read any because I don't have the printout.
Okay, so Patrick is on four.
Okay. Have you been brought to life, or has life been brought to you? And who or what brought you to life, or brought life to you? If you brought yourself to life, how'd you do that? And what is the life you brought yourself to?
Okay. Simone? Passage
five. Is life a journey or a destination? A journey to where? To what destination? And then what? And if you don't have a destination, can an endless journey possibly have any real meaning or purpose?
That's a great question.
A lot of great questions.
Okay, guys, I want your take on that one. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask something first, kind of a context question. Misty, do you know when this was written?
No, but I could research that.
All right, this is reminiscent of some of the, gosh, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Well, I would say that this is earlier rather than later. That much, yeah. I would say, just by the way that it's written.
Yeah, that's my sense as well. And I think a lot of the, I don't know where this is, what developed in further passages, I haven't read ahead, but a lot of these questions become more or less answered or not even made irrelevant by declaration and realizing that we have the privilege to make the declaration and live by our own authority. A lot of these things just aren't terribly relevant anymore.
To us.
Yeah. Well, I remember that we did discuss over a longer time if life is a journey or a destination.
Oh, lots of times.
Yeah. And also the second question, or do you live within a life? Also over this one, we had many discussions. What can I put into life? How do I live my life? My one and only life, and yeah.
Okay, where are we? Are we six?
Yeah.
Okay, and whose turn? Andrew, is it your turn?
I read five.
I think so. Six, there are many things in life you have, and many more things you want. However, considering all you want, does any of that have any significance at all if you don't have more life in which to live and enjoy what you desire? And speaking of more life, what does that mean to you? And what do you think we are talking about when we speak of more life? See, this gets into the question that I had from the end of five. Can an endless journey possibly have any real meaning or purpose? I've seen two movies in the last year that approach that question differently. One says that life is meaningful because it ends, and so we hang on to and savor every moment. And another one says that an endless life is the only one that actually does have any meaning.
Yep.
What did that second one say?
That an endless life is the only one that does have any true meaning.
Oh.
One that goes on. One that goes on beyond this moment.
Well, what do you think he wants to talk about?
He gets into it here.
I have no idea what Roger was talking about when he wrote More Life. Does anybody else have any idea what he's
doing? Well, he talked an awful lot about continuing, so I always assume when he talks more life, he's talking about continuing.
Something beyond where we are now. Whatever that means.
So could it be from the context then of more life? Is something more to life than just this loner body existence?
Well, those are the kind of questions that he's putting out there. Mm-hmm. Does he answer them? Maybe. We'll have to see. Okay, so we're on to Karen.
And this is number eight?
Seven.
Oh, number seven.
Seven.
Can you create more life? If so, what is life? And how do you create life? if you cannot create more life, what is the life you can't create?
Can't you just see him sitting there trying to put these questions together?
Yeah. Well, I would think that you can't... blowing is the wind, right? Like, you can't create more life, but in being, life is created.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. And in creating, you are living, too.
Okay. Passage 8. Certainly, you understand that more life can mean more of the same life, or more expansive life, a more extensive life, a more successful and fruitful life, more of a different life, more of the good life, more love for life, or more life for love, more of a peaceful or exciting life, more time for life, or more time of life, awareness of more life, more of the essence of life, a more spiritual or spirited life, or a more enriching life, and even an assurance of more life can be a good thing. That was a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Patrick. Hit us with passage 9.
Number 9. Considering all of this, when speaking about dreams and visions and patterns and your eternal self, is that more life? Does more life mean more varieties of life? More ways of life, or more spirit for life? Does more life mean more life for life? And if more life means all of these things, then when I speak of more life, you never know and can never possibly know what I'm talking about, can you? Got you there, boy. And maybe even I don't know and can't know what I'm really thinking or talking about, or truly know anything about myself. What do you suppose can be discovered or done about that?
Okay, so I'm going to stop it there, because at that point it starts changing the way it's go, the direction it's going.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a perfect spot, especially since Simone has to run and get to the station.
Go.
So with that,
great.
I will say
thank you.
Good night for now.